So hi, hello and welcome again, Mr. Kim here, and today in this episode I would like to talk about the five big problems of writing an extended essay. Every year I see students make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And every year I tell students, please be careful, please don't do this, do it the other way, and still students make the same mistakes. I don't know why, honestly. I'm going to keep on repeating myself. And so I decided to do a little podcast episode today about five problems that students make. Yeah, unnecessary, totally unnecessary. So, and I'm going to simply go through those five problems and I'm going to comment them. And the first problem is once students have a research question and they know what to do, then all of a sudden students start to research and they start to write. And this is a big problem, I think, because what students very often do is especially very motivated students, yeah, they work very quickly and they start to summarize the things that they've researched. Now, I don't care if they summarize it. That's not the problem. But the problem is if you just leave the summary as it is and you think that this is already your extended essay. Because the problem is that an extended essay is not a summary of stuff that you found out somewhere. You see, over the past couple of years, many students were taught when they were given an assignment by a teacher kind of to summarize things, right? They were given some kind of a task, or, I don't know, write something, an essay about volcanoes or about the human body or the heart or the brain or I don't know. Yeah. And then people went out, they researched the things and then they kind of summarized it. And they've done the referencing and the citing and all of these things. And then everyone was happy because they've properly summarized it. But an extended essay is not that. An extended essay is not a summary of other people's ideas. An extended essay is where you yourself answer your research question, which you want to explore. You have to answer it, not find the answer somewhere online and then summarize it. Yeah. And this is the big problem. So what you do is before you start researching, sure, you have to read it, the topic. But if you think that a summary of the stuff that you found, if that is your essay, then you misunderstand what an extended essay is. Okay. So that is problem number one. Problem number two, kind of a little bit related. Students include irrelevant material, which is not linked to the research question. I'll give you an example here. Students have a very good research question, they've done the research, and then all of a sudden they include background information which is not relevant for the research question. Then when I ask them, well, why did you include that? Those three pages of I don't know, summary of book. Yeah, this background information. You know what I get? Students tell me, yeah, I had to include that because otherwise the reader doesn't understand what I'm talking about. Well, then you've already got a problem. Yeah, if you have to include a summary of a textbook, of a lesson, so that your reader understands what you're talking about, then you already have a basic problem, a more fundamental problem. Yeah? No, that's not the reason. Just don't be honest to yourself. You didn't include it because you wanted to make the reader happy. You included it because you already wrote it, and now you do not want to hit the delete button. That's the real reason. Actually, it's irrelevant stuff because you started out, like in point one, just summarizing stuff. Yeah? And then all of a sudden, you probably realized yourself it doesn't really fit in there, and you don't want to delete those three or four pages that you've written, so you just find an excuse and you say, well, actually, I need to include it because otherwise the reader doesn't understand it, what I'm talking about. What a nonsense. If you think that it is relevant, then make it relevant. You have to explicitly link it to the research question. Sometimes the connection is only in the head of the student, but the reader has to see the connection to the research question. If you compare two novels, let's use literature here. You want to compare two novels, okay, based on the themes that are being discussed on a certain topic. And then you include the biography of the authors. Yeah, three pages, 1.5 pages of biography of the author. What does this have to do with the themes of the novel? Well, if you don't tell me, then it's not relevant. But this is what so many people do. A lot of people. They just include stuff that is absolutely not linked to the research question. Yeah, you have to understand the life of the authors, otherwise you do not understand their novel. That's the excuse I'm getting. Is it so? Okay, then make it please clear in those three pages that you have written how the life of the author influenced the themes that you want to compare. Make it relevant. But most people don't. Okay, I'm just saying. So, next point. Sometimes students have a research question that cannot be answered because the method does not allow you to answer it. I'll give you an example. If you want to do an experiment in the sciences and you don't have the equipment, how is that? You see, students are so happy that they find a research question, they don't even consider the possibility that there is no meaningful way to actually answer it. Because they're just so happy that they found any kind of research question. And then all of a sudden they don't know where to start because they realize, well, actually, I cannot answer the research question. Because there is no way that it can actually conduct an experiment or that it can research it. Or sometimes, worse yet, the research question is so vague that you don't even know where to start. I mean, an example I always use, would like to determine the effect of the world economic crisis on my home country. You know, how it influences the economy of our home country, of my home country. Come on. I mean, you can write libraries on this. Libraries, honestly. And on what are you going to research? There's nothing has been published yet on this. Yeah, what are you going to do? Yeah, way too broad, way too vague, and the method doesn't allow you to. Yeah. So if you have a research question, you don't know where to start. Well, then what happens is people will actually try to find the answer online somewhere in the internet, and then they kind of summarize that whatever they find, and then we're back to point one. Yeah. So you see, it's all somehow called connected. Yeah. Next one. Students let the data and the research answer the research question, and they themselves don't answer it. I'll give you an example, especially in the sciences, and not only in the extended essay, but also in the individual project, in the internal assessment, big issue, the big problem. The students, they plan out a fancy experiment, they have a detailed method, then they present the data tables, the graphs, and that's it, finished. That's my answer. Here's the graph. No, come on. You have to interpret the graphs. You have to talk about the graphs. You have to use the data to answer the research question. You have to talk about how the graph is maybe imprecise, inaccurate, maybe not good enough. I don't know. Yeah. Talk about the data. It's not only in the sciences. I've also seen in literature as well. People find quotes in a book. They present the quote. As an example, sure, that's fine, but that's it. Yeah? The following examples, the following quotes illustrate the role of, I don't know, the main character for whatever. And then you get five quotes. Finished. No, you got to talk about it. You got to interpret it. You got to discuss the whole thing. Where is your input? Okay? That's the whole thing. People just find the stuff, they find the data, they find the quote, they find, I don't know, an answer from an interview somewhere that they've done. Yeah. They present that and then they think that's it. No, what about the second and the third step? The second step being interpreting the whole thing. Yeah. Third step, using it to say, okay, but this data answers the research question in this way. Yeah. We have to go back to the research question in every paragraph. Yeah. So this is a problem. So that's the fourth problem. Students simply present the things that they have researched, be it in an experiment or wherever, in a book, yeah, or in an interview, and they think that this is already the last thing that they have to do. But that's not. The main thing is missing, which is the interpretation of this whole stuff, yeah, and your own answer. So next one. Huh. I actually once said that please don't summarize stuff from that you find online, from the internet. You have to come up with your own answer and so on. And then one student said, oh, cool, I don't have to do research. I'll just write whatever I want. So we had this one essay where the student didn't do any research, yeah, and simply wrote whatever he thought about the topic because Mr. Kim said that you're not allowed to summarize things from the internet. Come on. Is this a deliberate misunderstanding of what I'm saying? You see? No, you have to do the research, you have to find evidence for your claims, and then you talk about it. Of course you have to do both. You cannot just write anything. Yeah? Oh, I feel that this is, it's like this. Yeah. So this is, I think the mindset is, I think, one of the biggest problems here with writing the extended essay is that many students have, over their whole student life, they have been writing summaries. You've been given an assignment, and then you had to kind of reproduce. You had to reproduce kind of the answers. You were given a question somewhere, and then you had to reproduce the answer. Yeah, you had to find an answer to the question. And where did you find the answer to the question? Well, either in the textbook that you read or online, but it was always somebody else's answer. And this is kind of a mindset we have to break now. We have to break this type of mindset. No, now you will give me your own answer to this question, which you found. It's your research question. It is your method. Okay? You find me the answer and you answer the question. And that is the thing. And if somebody else, if you find out that somebody else has a different answer to a similar question, then talk about it. Okay? How are you different from these other things that you found? How are you similar to the other things that you found? Yeah. But this mindset is I have to go there and find the answer either by doing an experiment, by finding quotes in a book, by doing an interview, by doing some math calculations. That's the answer, finished. Okay? This is kind of the mindset that is there. But what about the second step? Okay? What does this now mean that you found out? This is actually the real brain work and the real thing here. And this is something that that many students, they don't take this step. Okay, so I'm going to summarize again those 5 points because I consider them so important. I know, I'm just talking for nothing here because many of you are still not going to adhere to these points. But yeah, well, I've done my best. So number one, students, start off researching right away. Do that. Okay, but don't simply copy now the things and summarize it and think that this is already your extended essay. I mean, write down bullet points maybe of the main ideas, okay, so that you know what you found out. But this is not necessarily the things that you're going to put into the essay. Point number two, students include irrelevant material, often irrelevant background material, which is not linked to the research question. If you think it is relevant, then make it relevant by actually saying it in your essay, how it is connected to the research question. And not just in one line, somewhere at the end, somewhere after 3 pages in one line, but continuously. Yeah? It's got to be evident to the reader that this background information that you included here is directly relevant. So the next one is the following, choosing research questions that cannot be answered because they are too vague, too broad, or the method does not allow you to do, you cannot do the method. I mean, if you want to compare two books, again, I'm in literature here, and you cannot get the books, what are you going to do? Or if they're written in a language that you can't speak because they have not been translated yet, I have no idea. Yeah? Then you cannot answer it. Okay. The next problem is students let the data answer the research question, think that they have researched, that's their answer. But they don't take the next step to actually interpret the data. And last, and then the other extreme, is that students don't do any research at all, and they just think that they can write whatever they want. Yeah. So now if your brain starts to smoke a little bit because you think, oh my gosh, there's so many things that I have to take into consideration and I'm kind of worried of doing it wrong, I tell you an easy answer. Go through the extended essay criteria. It tells you exactly what you should do. Okay? If it says over there in the very beginning of the extended essay, you have to explain the research question, then do that. If it says, explain me why the research question is relevant for investigation, then write me a paragraph and say why it's relevant. Do that. If it says, okay, you've essentially suggested an approach and a method, then write it down. And so, yeah, but actually, I'm just comparing two books and or two paintings. There is no method. Well, then tell me on what basis are you going to compare them? Okay? That's your method. But rather, what do students rather do? They rather ignore all of these things, all the things that actually should help them, and they write a summary of something that they found somewhere. I don't get it. Okay? And then they're surprised that they don't get the points. I tell you the following. So often students have come to me and asked me, well, why did this not work out with the extended essay? Why did they lose points? And in many cases, I could say, look at this. I mean, of the 18 pages you wrote, 6 of them are not linked to the research question. I don't even know why you've written them. Yeah, it's almost like you've not written them. Yeah, just ignore them, take them out, throw them away. Yeah, it's unnecessary work, wasted time. Yeah, and so what? The reason why I'm telling you all of this stuff is if you simply plan out the whole process a little bit better, if you step through the whole extended essay planning, research, and writing process in a more systematic way, you're going to avoid this. But you know what's going to happen in many cases, or in some cases, your students are going to wait until the very last. Yeah, they're going to keep on procrastinating. They're going to wait until the last minute, and then they try to hand in a draft, and then essentially the teacher discovers that actually half of the essay is irrelevant summary. Yeah, and then it's too late to actually improve on that because how are you going to write 5 pages in 3 days? Yeah, not summarized, but actually your own ideas. Yeah. And then what we teachers usually say is we're just going to take it and hope for the best, you know. But actually, we already know our heavens. Yeah? Because we couldn't give feedback because the only time when we've actually received a more or less complete version of the essay, draft of the essay, where we can actually get a better impression is right before the deadline. And the students, they kind of expect that we quickly give them some feedback so that they can improve it and then they hand in the final version. But actually, the feedback it would be rewrite half of the essay. Or all of it, yeah. So avoid this, and by not pushing up all of the work, and by really continually checking that you're staying on track. Okay. So, yeah, I think I'm just gonna leave it like that. I'm exhausted now. Bye bye. All the best.